everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. And this is a repeat. You're laughing so hard already.
I'm just laughing at you because for everyone who doesn't know, the way that we sync up our audio, we go one, two, three, and then clap. And every time you do a get ready, I don't know if you know that you do it, but your hands go one and they get close, like they get close.
And I never once have clapped exactly at the moment you've clapped. Like I'm watching you on the video and I always clap full on 2 seconds later.
No, I know.
This one was good. I did a really good one that time.
You did good, but you get ready. You have a get ready stance for the clapping.
Maybe I'm too nervous about it and that's why I'm so late all the time.
Were you feeling a threat?
Threat level midnight.
Do you see that? See what I did?
Yeah.
For everyone out there who watched The Threat, the Monday Night Dateline.
It's called The Threat.
Do you feel threatened in your own life? I feel like I want to get to know.
I feel like that DA felt threatened by like the lady at Subway.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want pickles? And then he, or don't threaten me.
I'm allergic. But he was, I mean, but also old man Baynard was a cold-blooded killer.
He killed his wife in cold blood.
Yeah, he was a sociopath. She married a sociopath is what happened.
Yes, and he was a full-on killer. But I just think even after the threat seemed to be fairly neutralized, he was still a little hyped up.
He was extremely.
But I like those guys. I've seen them on, they've been on like 5 datelines. I've seen them all.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I liked them, him and the other guy.
Oh.
They're in some good episodes. I recommend, he lists them all online. They were all really good.
Oh, but they're not.
He's called the evidence whisperer. So he's the one who finds things that are like, not in this one. He didn't really find much. But he usually can find something that no other investigator saw.
Really?
Like a photo or something.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. He's very good.
But that's not the episode that we're going to talk about tonight.
No. We're talking about the killing in Cobb County, which I have seen many times and Katie has never seen. So I'm very excited to hear what you thought about it.
Loved it.
It aired. Loved it. Oh my God. See, I didn't. Okay. Here's what I need to do is never build them up because I'm still not over Sheila Davalou.
I know.
And when I hyped it up so much and then you were kind of like, meh. And now I didn't build this one up at all. I said, let's watch Killing in Cobb County. And then you wrote back, wow, wow, wow. That was bananas.
It was.
And I was very excited.
Yeah, I loved it.
Because I hadn't built it up at all. Okay. So this is season 22, episode 33, November 29th, 2013. Now, I could have sworn there was an original episode and that this was an add-on episode. But I think I might be wrong because I couldn't find it online. There was a 2020 that did only the stuff before the OMG moment. So it's the same people being interviewed on this 2020 before we get to the OMG moment. So I believe what happened like a year after, they maybe hadn't aired the original episode yet. And then they tacked it on. But I'm not sure. We'll get to that. But I can't figure it out. I could have sworn I had seen the original story and then like a year later had seen the whole OMG thing. So this is hosted by Queen Andrea, who's never looked better. Just stunning, I thought, in every scene.
But she always is, yeah.
She always does.
Yeah.
But I was just like, wow, she took my breath away. This takes place in Georgia. It is about a woman named Lottie Spencer, who I think the name Lottie is kind of cute. I think it's like Lolly. Do you know? And Lottie.
But Lottie.
Dottie.
Yeah, Dottie's Dolly. Cute. Dottie and Dolly are cute.
Those are kind of cute, right?
But you know Lottie is short for Loretta.
No, but that's cute too, Loretta. Like, there's a Loretta on Murder, She Wrote.
Okay. Does it change how cute she is that I tell you her last name is Blatz?
Right, it is Blatz now. It was Spencer.
So her name is Loretta Blatz.
I mean, it's less charming.
It's a charming name. Lottie's adorable.
Yeah, it is, right?
It's cute.
And there was a Lolly on one of the housewives, and I thought that was adorable. There's... I swear.
No lollies.
It was the daughter of one of the ladies.
Oh, but that's not a housewife, though.
Right.
I know my housewife.
And I think it was the DC group that no one really knew.
Yeah, maybe. Potomac? Boy, Potomac, I think, is on. No, Potomac got more than one season.
Yeah, it was DC, did which I think
Dallas
was different.
Get more than one season? Is Dallas coming back? Or Houston? They had a Texas for one season. It was great. It was like ex-cheerleaders, too. It was amazing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
I thought it was great. I don't know why it's coming back. Andy Cohen, what's going on with you?
I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he
is. So, does. I think he has time amongst
his Hi, Andy.
Shows. What's up? So, Lottie and her young daughter move to Georgia.
Yeah.
And they move into this house where they're on the top floor, and this woman named Carmen and her 5-year-old son Nick live on the bottom floor. One day in 1995, this is a while back, Nick, the little boy, and Christina, the young girl, they come home from school and they find a stranger in Nick's house. And the stranger actually stabs Nick a bunch of times, this little 5-year-old boy. It's terrible. Christina runs upstairs and gets the babysitter that was like waiting there and her boyfriend. And the boyfriend goes all superhero, grabs an axe, runs in and grabs Nick, who's bleeding, and tries to give him CPR and carries him out of the house, pressing his wound to his chest so he will survive. It's like very dramatic. The police come and they find Carmen, the mom, the downstairs mom. She's dead. She's strangled. And she was only 30 years old. Lottie, the neighbor, who we're going to be focused on a lot, and Christina's mom. She is so glad Christina's okay, but she feels so badly about Carmen and Nick. Nick, who's been stabbed 18 freaking times and is 5 years old.
So how does that even work? So Christina runs.
Christina stayed at the door, they said, and Nick ran in to find his mom. And
they knew something was wrong because there was blood or the door was open. Something was
right.
off. Okay. But yes. then, so she did not know that Nick was getting stabbed.
Little Carmen?
Sorry. No, Carmen is the mom. So
little Christina.
Christina did not know that Nick was had run in the house and was getting stabbed. She knew something was
wrong.
I'm sure
she
heard
screaming. Maybe she heard Nick scream. And then ran upstairs. I mean, she was a kid.
I'm just saying that the murderer tried. I mean, that's a lot of stabbing.
That's a ton of stabbing.
That takes time, is what I'm saying. So he must have just bolted by the time that boyfriend got downstairs with the axe.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Or no, the boyfriend went to grab an axe from the garage. It was something.
Well, I don't know. You could go boom, boom. I don't know how much backswing he had on the stabbing. If they were like little stabs.
I don't know either. It's so creepy.
Fast.
The whole thing is horrible. Like,
but
for
it's
a
like
five
a little
year old,
boy's body.
It's awful.
There's not even that much
why
surface
would you do,
to work
why
with.
Would you even do it? Why?
No, it's insane.
No.
You could just literally shove that little boy out of your way and then run. Like, he's 5 years old.
He's probably not
going to
remember what you look like.
Yeah, just go. Ugh. Like, that's the devil to do that
no,
to
it
a
is.
Child.
It absolutely
anyway.
Is.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that last defense is very good.
What?
Viola Davis is the voiceover for it. It's a docuseries.
On what?
And it's about that woman who's accused of stabbing both of her sons. And then she was attacked and stabbed in the neck. Her throat was cut. And they put her away. She's on death row. And there are people trying to exonerate her, even though she's on death row.
Wow.
They think that a stranger came in and did it. Oy. She's being accused of doing it. It's insane. I don't think she did it. I'm not convinced. I never have been. But now there's new stuff.
Sorry, what's
in there.
It on? Where can I find it?
Oh, ABC.
Oh, okay.
It's very good. My friend Jill told me about it, who's probably listening. Hi, Jill. Not your enemy, though, Jill, that you like.
She's not my enemy.
She's kind of your nemesis, but you've never met her. That's what I want to do for my birthday. Let's all get together.
I've met her several times.
Bread.
I've met her and met her and met her.
She's not Anne Veal. I'm Anne Veal.
She calls it a May and egg. Are you doing all right? I don't feel so good.
I don't feel so good. Okay. You know that Greg always called me Anne. He said I was Anne Veal. Like, that's the worst.
Greg,
thing
that's unacceptable.
Say.
Now that
but
I know,
kind of
now that I
Anne.
Know that you listen.
Yeah.
Also, you were very snappy with him in text the other day.
I was
about
so rude.
Him trying to find Tim, just asking a nice question, and I was going to jump in, and then I forgot about it. So I'm sorry, Greg. I didn't jump into your defense because Kimberly was so rude and snippy.
I was so It was 1,000 degrees in my apartment. Like, literally, it was like 98, 105 in that area.
Is Greg Jesus? Does he control the weather?
No. But he's going to start watching the show. When does Dateline actually air? He wants to start watching. And I said, check your local listings. New episodes are usually on Fridays and they air repeats on Saturday and now on Monday. Do you have cable? Because he used to have cable when he lived here.
Got it.
But now I don't know if he has cable. And he wrote, local listings? Is that like a newspaper? TV Guide? Is it ABC, CBS, or NBC? And I wrote, NBC, do you seriously need me to tell you how to look up when a TV show is on? Try TVGuide.com. You don't have a DVR? Like, I don't need to, like, Google things for people.
No,
like,
you didn't. Google them themselves. Greg, in Kimberly's defense, this would have been a two-second Google for you. So If you wanted to make conversation about other things.
I think he did.
Happy to talk about cases, but also it sounds like he was trying to push your buttons. And so if that was your intent, sir, well done.
He knows how to do it.
He did it.
I was his workwife for 12 years.
Yeah,
like, I'm all riled.
He just did it. Yeah.
And this is the kind of question that in the 12 years, I would go to his office and ask him, and he would go, there's this new thing called Google, and be a jerk about it.
Why didn't you just say that?
That's what I should have said.
Yeah.
But, like, afterwards, I was thinking, why didn't he just freaking look it up? He has a smartphone, internet.
He wanted to talk to us about other things, and this was a gateway.
Dateline NBC.
Gotcha.
It's NBC. Who doesn't know that? Do you have never watched TV? I love you, Greg.
I'm not
going to do your Googling for you.
Oh, sorry, Greg. Okay, but we digress away from from Lottie and
work.
We'll
husband.
Just keep we'll keep talking about your work husband, Greg. Your ex husband.
Ex husband. Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll go with ex husband. I'm a divorcee.
You're a work divorcee. Is that a thing? Is there a group for that?
Maybe. I feel like I need to be on Golden Girls and go out on the lanai with the other divorcees in my long, like, flowing robe and my little heels.
For some reason, my headphones didn't like whatever you said just now because all I got was
a weird
sound. So, yeah, I don't know. I heard you cut back in a long, flowing robe. So I can only assume that you're imagining yourself as Blanche, which is great.
Yes,
because you should be imagining yourself as Blanche. That makes me happy that you're not automatically going for
Rose
Sophia
or Dorothy. Yeah, I'm never Sophia. I'm always Dorothy. Oddly enough, Blanche is a widow, not a divorcee. But still,
yeah.
Okay, but we digress more. We're done digressing. So Lottie, who is Lottie? Lottie is the neighbor. Yes. So she...
Well, and not... Oh, they keep referring to her in some articles as the roommate. So how is this house split up? It's an upstairs and a downstairs, but are they connected or is it a duplex?
Oh, they did refer to her as the roommate.
They did. They referred to her as the roommate.
Interesting.
So we don't know exactly.
I don't know.
Right. And then when they show the house, it looks like a house.
Yeah. So I wonder if it had two sets of staircases. I'm not sure. I assume they lived completely separately.
Yeah.
But they were close. We learn later they did spend time together. But I don't think it was like you walked inside a house and then they share a kitchen or something.
This would be a really good thing. If we were like Truth and Justice, we would have show notes and it would have like a diagram of the house and where the bodies were and how they lived and all this stuff. And we have gesticulations, basically. We have nothing.
It seems like a lot of work. We are going to start posting your little scribbles.
Good.
Your doodles online.
Oh, good.
For our Patreon.
This is going to be a great one.
Okay. Awesome. So, Nick stabbed 17 times, 18 times. He's 5 years old. He's in critical condition at the hospital, but somehow he survives, which is a total miracle. But when he wakes up, they have to tell him that his mom died, and it's very sad. And he's kind of a grown-up now, a young man. He's very soft-spoken. Seems very polite. I could not really understand what he was saying because I was watching the episode at work and I couldn't turn it up loud enough when he was talking.
Oh.
So I glossed over some, but I've seen this episode many times. But
interesting.
What does that mean?
I mean, I'm just saying certain people on this phone call get really mad at other people that are on this phone call sometimes for watching episodes in their car.
No, I don't. Because I know you watch it multiple times. and you listen, and then you'll watch. And this was not a super visual episode. If you had not been watching the bottom of the pool episode and not seen the cheetah and the gilded cage that they lived in, right, I would have been very upset.
Okay.
So he is raised by his aunt, and he barely remembers his mom, and it's just, it's very, very sad.
It is really sad.
Lottie, immediately after the murder, Lottie steps forward and says, I know who did this. It's this teenager that I know named Wasim Dacre. Dacre?
Dacre.
Okay.
Because they get it wrong a couple times in the subtitles. They say okay. Baker a couple times, and I'm like, no, Andrea has excellent diction. She's clearly yes. saying Dacre with a D. D as in dog.
Dacre. Yeah. Yes. So she met Wasim playing paintball. She was the captain of the team, mm-hmm. which I had no idea that people did this regularly, like softball. I thought it was more of a one-time event, like for a birthday party. But apparently you can do it regularly and have regular teams.
I didn't know
like
it either.
Like a league. I had no clue.
I didn't know. No, I think it's like dodgeball or anything else, right?
Yeah, I had no idea. So he's 12 years younger than Lottie. Mm-hmm. He is a college student. So I guess he's still a teenager, but he's a college student.
He's 17.
Then I don't know how he's a college student. He must be very smart. So
he's going into college.
Okay. Lottie felt like a big sister to him. But quickly, her protecting him or hanging out with him,
friendship.
Just being a friendship, it turned very dark. He got very obsessive. He started calling her at work and at home, and she would tell him to stop, and then he would start crying. He would call her up to her 100 times a day. But she felt sorry for him, and she didn't want to get him into trouble, so she still kind of would talk to him. But then he started yelling and said he's going to get her, he's going to slit her daughter's throat, and then it escalated. She would come home, and he would be in her underwear in... Okay, no, sorry, scratch that. She would come home, and her underwear would be in weird places. But then one time she came home, and he was actually in her lingerie, and he was looking at himself in the mirror, which is just beyond terrifying. And also, she has a very young daughter, which is also very terrifying. So the whole thing is just super creepy. She said that he was
Buffalo
messing
Builder.
With her. 100. I was thinking the same thing.
But we also can't say that line on here because we are not expletive podcast. I'm sorry.
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 So creepy.
Yeah, it's really creepy.
So creepy.
I'm sorry.
So Lottie says he was messing with her, controlling her life. She was terrified. One day, also Andrea was horrified too. Like Andrea was equally horrified, saying this sounds like every woman's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Pretty much it is. Especially if you have a child, but not even just if you have a child, just as a woman. This is terrifying. Then
calling
he threatened
100 times a day.
No, it's ugh.
I lose my mind.
Come home and your underwear is like, oh no.
Did she change her phone?
I don't know what her preventative
because
measures
she sort
she
of
took.
Didn't get the cops involved. Sorry, I'm sure you're getting there. Never mind.
She really felt protective of him and didn't want to get him into trouble, which I think is why she didn't get the cops involved. But she probably should have. So,
probably.
Yeah. So then he threatened her and her daughter, and he was actually holding a knife at the time. He said he could get away with the perfect murder, and his plan was in the making. So this was now before the murder. The police, oh no, this, I guess this is after, no, okay. So finally, I think she did go to the police. This part was a little confusing. They arrested Wasim, they released him on bail, why, don't know. Then they said, stay away from Lottie, and he doesn't. So he's arrested again, and he's put in a mental institution. And then while he's in the mental institution, Lottie moves her and her daughter to Cobb County. Is
correct.
That correct?
That is correct.
So she had gone to the police.
So she had
before
gone
the murder
to the police.
Happened.
Yeah. It was
okay.
Serious enough that, yeah.
That she had gone
and
to the police.
Thank goodness she was believed and taken seriously. Because sometimes that doesn't happen.
Absolutely. So she moves into the house where Carmen and her son live on the bottom floor. It's Friday the 13th. Wasim is released from the hospital. Less than 2 weeks later.
Where do
later,
I know that story?
It's a pretty popular day for things to happen.
Doesn't Mike Myers get released on Friday the
13th?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Just saying.
Or no, he gets released on Halloween.
Oh, on Halloween. Oh, I gotta go to
or
bed.
Does he get released a few days before Halloween?
No, I'm sure.
Trying to think of in the original movie, I feel like the Halloween. Doctor gets killed before the main day with Jamie Lee Curtis. I feel like something happens before, but I could be wrong.
Again, if we had show notes, we could do the Halloween timeline.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Keep going. I'm sorry.
So less than 2 weeks later, that he's released from the hospital, and less than 2 weeks later, Carmen is dead. So that's a pretty good indication that it's him. Mm-hmm. Lottie calls him evil and a pure monster. But the police are wondering, well, why would he kill the neighbor? He's never met the neighbor. He's never met Carmen. But I guess Wasim had been calling Lottie obsessively since he got out of the hospital. And she had taken her phone off the hook. And then a few minutes later, she heard Carmen's phone ringing downstairs. So he went after Carmen. He said something to her, very creepy, we don't know what. She hung up the phone very quickly, and then she told her sister and her brother-in-law that she had gotten this call from her neighbor's stalker, and that she was very scared. She was going to sleep with the hammer by her bed, or she was even going to move in with her sister for a while, because she was that freaked out by Lottie's stalker. Lottie helped Carmen barricade her sliding glass door. Lottie said that Carmen was absolutely terrified of Wasim.
So does Carmen own the house and Lottie's renting a room from her? Because at what point are you like, I love you, but my child is in danger because you have a stalker? Like, what?
So you need to leave.
But how good of friends are they? Like, because if
I don't think they're very
good
friends.
If it was you, I would stay. And I know we're doing this together. We're in it. But are they just a roommate?
She just rented the place. Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying.
Or it is a duplex and they just happen to live.
But it's also fairly new, right? Because he'd only been out for two weeks. So this harassing behavior had only probably been happening about a week. So correct. Maybe very they're fast. Just. Okay. All right.
It was a fast friendship born over one of their stalkers. So Wasim, they go to Wasim's house. In his room, they find the address of the house where Carmen and Lottie live written down. And then they find a letter to Lottie about how he's going to exact revenge on her, but he's going to let her live because he wants her to suffer. You're shaking your finger. You have things to say. Do you want to say things now?
The only thing is... the way that it's phrased in Dateline is, but don't worry, I'm going to let you live, is what the detective says. Uh-huh. But the letter very clearly says, I'm going to let her live. So,
her live.
So that means he's going to let her daughter live. He's going to let Christina live. The detective
really?
Just got it wrong. Yeah, in the letter, really? They show that line. And instead of saying, let you live, it says, let her live. So if that letter is to Lottie, he's talking about Christina. He's talking
That's
about Lottie's
daughter.
Yeah, just a little... That's what you get when you watch the episode three times. Mm. I got that. Because I looked at the letter and I said, that doesn't say you, that says her. So, yeah, I don't think he had any intention of letting
Unless
Lottie live.
Unless he was saying, I look at myself in the mirror and I say, I'm going to let her live.
Do you think that's more likely or more likely that he was going to let Christina live?
I want to be not accusing Dateline of getting something wrong.
Dateline didn't. The detective did.
Sometimes one of us
or both of us
get things wrong. Like, I'm still not sure in Secrets of Silver Lake if they were drinking wine or water, and I've watched it like 10 times. Okay. The police get hair and fiber from the scene. Carmen has bruises and cuts. She'd also been undressed and redressed, which I don't really get how they knew, unless the clothes were put on weirdly, but maybe she put them on weirdly. I don't know. That was weird to me how they could possibly tell that somebody had been undressed and redressed. There was a rope.
They were put on wrong?
That's what I just said. But then I said maybe she put them on wrong. Like, I put on my clothes wrong all the time. Like, I'll go around all day and my shirt's inside out.
Yeah, she's a busy mom. What's your excuse?
None. Nothing.
Zero excuse.
Lazy and inattentive to details.
There we go.
Regarding myself. Also, I never look in a mirror. Ever. Ever. Like... at all. I try to avoid it at all costs.
That's silly.
Yeah. So it was all, there's a rope, did I say that? That was for strangling her. Yeah. It was all circumstantial though, so the case goes cold. The police obviously think it's Wasim, but they can't prove it because there's no DNA. So the police can arrest him for stalking, though. So they arrest him for stalking Lottie, and they had a ton of witnesses who said that he had stopped by at all hours of the night, banging on the door, all that stuff. So they are able to put him in jail for 10 years for stalking. But Lottie is furious because even though she's safe, he's not paying for Carmen's murder, and that's what she wants him to pay for. So in 2006, Wasim is released from prison. Nick is now a teenager, and the police think Wasim is going to go finish the job, so they put him on high alert, and they have cops outside their house and stuff. And so they're terrified. Lottie is scared, too. She actually says that he is that character in those horror movies.
Michael Myers.
He is Michael Myers.
Yes, got it.
It's all Italian. Wasim is now free. He goes skydiving. He's very happy. The police are frustrated because the case is cold. But then one of the cops is sent to a DNA training camp. And he learns about this new technique that they can do when they have some hair. And more things that they could test than they couldn't do 10 years ago. So they can actually test these. It grossed me out so much to even say it. The short, dark hairs on the body. Just really, I just find it just really gross.
Because you're thinking of.
I just don't.
Of hairs from the nether region.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes. Also, I just don't really like hair in general.
Sorry, was she sexually assaulted, Carmen?
No. Okay. Just undressed and redressed.
Thank God. Oh, but that's creepy enough. I don't like that. That's.
Yeah, it's really weird. So they had found short, dark hairs on her body and in the bedding. They do the tests and they find that without a doubt, it's Wasim's hair on her body. So they're like, done. Charge him. Go to trial. He was stalking Lottie and he got back at her by killing the neighbor. Easy peasy. Wasim, however, it's like, I'm going to make this more difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm going to represent myself on trial. Which always goes.
He's a charmer.
It always goes, much like Sheila Davalou, who also represented herself.
She did?
Yes.
Oh,
that's how crazy she was. I don't know why you don't like that episode more.
Don't remember. But also, I think you're saying Wasim with an M, and it's Wasim.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I wasn't watching it loud enough. Well, maybe I'll call him Dacre.
No. Call him Wasim.
Wasim. Like that? Okay. So I did learn something when I finally put the subtitles on or started looking up something about how someone spells their name, and it blew my mind. It floored me. I'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay. So Wasim is defending himself. He's being advised by a father-son lawyer team, and they tell him, okay, focus on disputing the DNA, the science. Don't focus on Lottie because you will look crazy. But he's obsessed with Lottie, so he starts talking about Lottie in court. He keeps pointing to her, and he says that him and Lottie had a sexual, consensual, romantic relationship. And Andrea says, well, that must have been so frustrating for you to hear Lottie and not be able to say anything about it. And Lottie is just like, you know what? It's not true, so what else can I say about it? We did not have a sexual relationship.
Also, you're right, by the way.
What?
It's Wasim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just looked. Sorry. I was wrong. Excuse me. Hold on.
Is there a cat in there? Sounded maybe. Like a dog barking.
Maybe.
Andrea asks Lottie if Wasim ever tried to kiss her. And Lottie says, no, he never tried to be romantic with me at all. The records state. Okay, so then we get into this DNA stuff. The records originally stated. Oh, you know who that? Did you recognize this guy? George Hampikian. He's been in a million Datelines. He runs the Innocence Project of Iowa, I think.
Idaho.
So he's a big shot. I've seen him on a million different 48 Hours and Datelines.
Huh.
But his specialty is DNA. He says, well, the odd thing is in the original records of what they found at the crime scene, none of the hairs had roots. It said none of the hairs had roots, but now they have roots. And they're testing them and they come to him. That's something's not right. He's like, someone made a mistake or something's fishy. So
well, how would it be fishy? Like they would take it from prison? Like a guard would be in on it?
Yeah. Take his DNA. I think it's more likely someone just made a clerical error. to me and said there were no roots.
That's a pretty big clerical error.
Well, we had that other episode where they wrote down, it said 13.9 feet, and they wrote down 139 inches.
Well, that's right. True.
So.
True, true.
Wasim says that to make their case, the police took new hairs off of him. And it's all because Lottie made up all these lies. It's all her fault. She derailed a murder investigation. And Lottie is in the court and she's just super uncomfortable. She says he's enjoying it. He's controlling her by mentioning her name and bringing her into it. The jury doesn't buy his routine and they find him guilty. At the sentencing, Nick faces the attacker and he speaks about his mother in a really soft way. And I couldn't really hear it, but I think it was probably really, really sad. So
it's very sad.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you not hear it?
Because I was at work and I turned it up as much as I could, but he was speaking so softly. But I did see him say like he was happy and he hoped his mom was proud of him. And I think she would be. He was like saying a very nice
he basically man. Gave a speech at the sentencing hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about how his life had forever changed. And like, yeah, he faced him. He was very brave. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's amazing. The judge gives Wasim life in jail plus 47 years. It's always weird to me how they come up with those numbers.
He was charged with a crap load of stuff.
Yeah, I looked at the charges and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, and then he was guilty of all of them.
Yes. So,
across the board. That's what you get when you represent yourself, Wasim.
Yeah. And then guess what? He is not going to make it easy for them again. He refuses to sign the documents that accept his ruling or sentencing. So the judge is just pissed and is like,
that was the best.
This is typical of a coward such as yourself. And that's what you are.
That was the best moment because she's looking down, she's writing and she says, this is typical of a coward. And then she stops. Puts down her pen, looks up straight at him, and says, and that's what you are, Mr. Dicker. Straight at him. And I was like, that's right.
Yep.
That's right. Baloney!
I want to know. Oh, yeah, she went Judge Judy.
She did, she was a little bit. Very,
yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I want to know what happens, though, after they refuse to sign. Do they force you to sign? Why do they even ask you to sign if you need to sign?
Probably...
If they can put you away anyways. Why does anyone sign? I'm not going to sign.
I want to know more about these signings. I don't know about the sign. It was the first time I'd ever even heard that you have to sign something, so I was totally clueless. So I got to figure that out.
Someone will tell us. I'm sure someone will send us info and go, you girls are so dumb.
Yeah.
It generally happens. We get a lot of correction emails.
I know. I'm a paralegal, and I don't mean to be mean, but
I love you guys.
Thank you for being so nice.
However you're wrong about everything.
However, you're just...
And this is what an Alford plea is.
You are a couple of boneheads. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So, you watching this for the first time, how are you feeling at this point? Like, you see how much time is left. What are you thinking? Or do you not want to go into
that? I had an idea.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Of the OMG.
Okay.
Yes, you did. I had an idea because I felt so strongly in the first part that what happens in the second part, I knew it.
Really?
In the first part, I just knew that there was some lying. Let's just say that. I was like, no. It was just human stuff.
Okay.
Like, and immediately, the first time I watched it, I was like,
Interesting.
And so then when it happens in the second part, I was shocked, but not as shocked. I was like, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. You're shocked, not that you're right, but that it actually happened.
No. I'm shocked at the level that it goes to.
Right.
That's what shocks me. So let's explain what we're talking about, because it's the best OMG reveal in, like, the history of Dateline. It's so pretty good. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Hi.
So this is a year later, and Andrea sits down again with Lottie. And Andrea, I think, was pregnant or maybe had just had a baby.
I think she was with Charles.
So cute. And Andrea is like, I didn't expect to be talking to you again. And Lottie says, yeah, I know. And Lottie then turns the whole case upside down. Lottie now says that she and Wasim had a consensual, sexual, long-term relationship. WTF, OMG. I mean, I knew it, but I, because I've seen the episode, but I remember the first time feeling very betrayed.
No, that I knew. That part I knew. I knew she was lying. I knew she was lying because it was weird. It was like that kid stalking you because you had sex with a 17-year-old, and 17-year-old brain sometimes goes haywire and can't take that when a woman of 30 years old has come into his life and is paying him all this attention. It might have been maybe his first sexual experience was with her. So you picked the wrong kid. If you're going to do that with somebody that age, he was unstable, and this is what happens. You
fried
his brain. I need
to really rethink my whole being a cougar plan, just for those, that alone. You hate me so much right now.
I'm so mad.
I would never, I'm not going to.
I'm really mad that you stole my moment of actually knowing that they did it.
I can't believe it. I'm so surprised because I remember being quite shocked. I felt very betrayed by her.
No, I knew it. I was like, I thought she had lied to Andrea the first time. I was like, and her response was weird. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, no, I would never do this with someone that age, which is the normal response. She's like, I said I didn't. That should be enough. And I was like, oh, you did.
Yes.
You did
because
of that response.
Her response in that question was very odd and very defensive.
This is what I'm
saying. It seemed to bother her a lot, the question. It seemed to bother her for no reason. Yeah. And she did seem very defensive at that moment. Yes.
No, I knew it was something like that. So I thought something like that was going to come out, and that might be the second half of this episode, that was going to, or the last 15 minutes of this episode, that was the revelation that was going to come out. Honestly, my thought was, is there a baby somehow? That was my thought, was like, did she have a baby with this guy? Because I was so sure that they had done it. So, but then continue. Continue, please, with what happened.
Andrea says, you know what, Lottie? I'm Andrea Canning and I'm gorgeous. And I'm going to tell you this. You lied to authorities. You lied in open court. You lied to the jury. And you lied to me and my perfectly made up face. Sorry, my phone went off.
That was amazing.
And you lied to me, and I'm Andrea freaking Canning.
That was a good line. And it was great.
Don't ever do that again. Yeah. And but she did it kind of nice. She's like, you lied to me. Kind of like they
were
girlfriends.
Yeah, she
we
did.
We were friends. I believed in you. So Lottie says, there are no words for what I've done.
And is crying.
And then proceeds to say some words. She says, it was wrong. She takes 100% blame. She says, I lied under oath about the sex. And here's the second OMG, about many of the stalking charges. There we go. Were you expecting that?
Kind of. As soon as she started. Well, I just sort of assumed this is where this was going.
Then what was so shocking for you about this episode?
That it was actually real. That actually did happen.
Yeah. So Andrea says, so did he threaten you? She says, no. Did he threaten others? No. Were you in love? Then she gets mad. No, I never was. I'm not now. Never.
That was actually my quotable. That was my
She's
my
very upset.
She says,
very defensive.
No, I never was. She says She says it like a teenager. Was.
She's so defensive about that question. Yes. So she says, I still feared him. That was a real emotion that I had. But she doesn't explain why, she made up all of that stalking stuff. Yes, the kitty's there. It's very cute. We're trying to do a podcast here, you know. So she says, it was a real emotion. I was terrified. I had nightmares. And because I was so scared of him and so sure that he killed Carmen, I lied about all that stuff to get him convicted.
But this, okay, are we going to talk about this now? Because this makes no sense. Because in our criminal justice system, it is not the easiest thing in the world to have someone...
I thought you were going to go in our criminal justice system. There are two equally important but separate units.
Here's the deal. In our system, stalking is still kind of a difficult charge to prove. Yeah. It's difficult to get a restraining order. Like, I know. These are difficult things. So I'm saying he was put away three times for stalking.
Right.
Once for 10 years for aggravated stalking. So I'm saying...
And once before the murders.
So people are witnessing his stalking behavior in order to put him away. So her making up some of those charges is actually that she... I don't think she did. I think she's lying now that she...
Right.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying. Like, we...
And I would say
that.
I would say that in the last 5 years, they've been more aggressive in stalking because of celebrities and things like that. But
in the 90s.
But in the 90s, I feel like they probably didn't take it that seriously. And
no,
it was probably
agree.
Very hard to arrest someone. And they arrested him. They put him in a mental hospital. They gave him a restraining order. And then they were able to put him away for 10 years. Yeah.
Right.
10 years.
Stalking. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously what he had said to Carmen, like what she had told her sister and brother-in-law, that was true. He had said something scary to her.
Well, like, and what did she write the letter that they found in his apartment?
Right.
Did Lottie write that in this weird scribbly handwriting and leave
it? Right. Well, we'll get to all the other stuff. Okay, but you know, you're totally right. There's plenty of evidence that he did stalk her and was crazy. Even if she's saying she lied now.
Right.
So this is what she says happened. So she says, I was convinced he was the killer, so I made up this stuff so that I would be sure that he would get convicted. And so she testified in court. Then during the closing arguments, she hears what she says for the first time, that Carmen's body, when it was found, was wrapped in layers of blankets. And that's when Lottie said she freaked out. She said, oh my God, I gave Carmen two blankets right before the murder. And they were blankets that Wasim and I had slept together in because he was welcome in my home, which again, she
says
he was in a not scared way at all.
He was her
lover. And he had spent the night. His DNA could very well be on those blankets.
No.
But here's what's interesting, and a lot of people online thought was interesting, was Lottie's DNA is not found on those blankets. So
are we sure?
Yeah. Mm. We're pretty sure. So if her DNA wasn't found on those blankets, did he just take naps on her couch?
She said they didn't. She didn't say they slept together. She said that he had spent the night and used those blankets.
I think it... Okay, that's
look, it's
okay.
It's a bunch of baloney.
Right. Okay. So Lottie says she can't let it go after the verdict. She says, I have a conscience. She says, I have to live with me. So even if I face perjury charges. So she goes to the courts and reveals all. And now the DNA expert, Dr. Hampikian, who I always loved in Datelines, he's a superhero. He does great things. He's now working on the case for free through the Innocence Project because he thinks this guy deserves a new trial.
Why?
Because of the blankets. Bear in mind, she called this man a monster and said he was the man in your nightmares.
On Dateline.
Now she says he's a victim and she's the monster for what she did. She is now the mom to another child, a little boy, with a different baby daddy. No judgment. No judgment.
I am laughing because Dateline throws it in the funniest
way.
They do. They say,
she's single mom
for the
again.
Second time. Right. And you're just like, all right, you didn't need to. Also,
you didn't need
has absolutely no bearing on anything to come. We do not meet her son. We do not care. They just throw in this one line, show her walking down the street, and you're like, okay, I see you, Dateline.
I see you, Dateline.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I would have liked to have met her husband if she was remarried and wanted to know what he thinks about this.
Mr. Blatz?
Yeah, Mr. Blatz. Mm-hmm. But he is nowhere to be found. So she could go to jail and be ripped away from her child. So then, because we want this to go right and rectify wrong things, we're going to do everything right by the book this time. Waseem is going to represent himself again in trial.
But he's
great.
Smart. Yeah.
So good.
Good.
He puts Hampikian on the stand and talks about how if he had slept in those blankets, his DNA could be on those blankets.
Right.
And then Lottie takes the stand. So now we have former stalker / lover confronting liar / lover, whatever. So she says, no, you never threatened me. No, you never stole my bra and panties. No, I never came home and saw you in my bra and panties looking at yourself in the mirror. She says she made up all that. I don't know where she came up with all that if she did.
No, you never threatened me with a weapon.
No, you never threatened me with a weapon. And Andrea is talking to the prosecutor and she's like, how do we know that Lottie's not lying now? Why do we believe anything Lottie has to say, basically? And Lottie says, well, I have everything to lose now. I have my other child is grown and presumably doesn't talk to me anymore. And now I have a young son. So I have everything to lose. But here's the deal. She's chewing gum on the stand, which I cannot deal with.
I totally missed it. No, she's not.
When she's walking up, she has this, I belong here, I've done this before, ladies make way, chewing gum, like, oh, where do I go? Where's my place? Where's my seat? Oh, it's right there. Okay, chewing gum, sits down. Then the prosecutor brings out these boxes of thousands and thousands of pages of letters that she sent to Waseem in jail, and he sent back to her all of their correspondence. And she's casually looking through these boxes, chewing gum, which is so, like, Jerry Seinfeld has a bit about how people chew gum to make them look nonchalant, like they don't care.
Right.
Like they're too cool for school. You know, like the student who leans their chair back in class and is like, yeah, totally teach, whatever. And that's totally how she's doing it. Like casually looking through, oh, what do you have there? Oh, papers, whatever. I'm not scared of papers. Oh, okay, that's interesting. And it's really annoying to me. So the prosecutor, so they bring out all these boxes. Now, Lottie says what she did correspond a ton with Waseem in jail. She was sending him daily devotions, like prayers.
Mm-hmm. I know what
also
devotion is.
Case files.
Mm-hmm. Of cases.
Yes. Well, she says, I felt like his personal secretary. Basically, he would send her research assignments. And then she would do them and print out all the stuff because he didn't have access to a printer or the internet or whatever. And she would mail them to him in jail. So she's doing all this work for him. And he would, and then as Andrea says, she would wait for her next assignment. That phrasing is very specific.
Yes,
they're making it seem like she is his little puppy dog errand person, you know?
Yeah.
And so the prosecutor thinks she's being manipulated by this man in jail, which is kind of what we all think now. Lottie says, no, I am a repentant woman who's trying to make things right. Prosecutor says that Lottie knew about the blankets the whole time and that it wasn't until she started writing to Waseem in jail that she came up with this whole blanket story. So he doesn't think the blankets ever existed. He asks her what color they were, what style they were. She doesn't remember. Granted, it was a really, really long time ago, but I still kind of feel like you'd remember because right after it happened, I feel like
somebody
you'd kind
was
of
murdered
remember.
And wrapped in them. Yeah, I think
yeah,
you'd
but
remember.
She didn't. She said she didn't know that until after the trial
because she just had so many blankets, a plethora of blankets.
Right. I mean, I don't get it. I have like I have a set number of blankets. I
but
know
you know what
each.
They look like.
I know what they look like, right. And I would probably remember which two I picked to give to my neighbor.
Probably.
But by the time the trial came and she heard about the wrapping of the blankets, it had been over a decade. So here's when it gets really juicy. Lottie has, and Andrea is giving her so much shade on this.
Mm-hmm.
Lottie has taken out a second mortgage on her home to help pay for Wasim's legal fees. And she changed her life insurance so that it includes him along with her two children.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
She put her
whole financial future at risk. And her children's financial future for this man. And she says, I would do it again. I would do more. I would do, you know.
What? So what's happening? Like,
is she going to get murdered and he's going to get some money and we're going to find out he tried to kill her? I don't even understand.
What's happening?
I don't know. So the judge doesn't buy it and he doesn't give Wasim a new trial. So this trial that we've been talking about was to get him a new trial. Mm-hmm. And he's denied. The judge says that Lottie lacks credibility and that her testimony appeared to be concocted by Wasim. So again, they think Wasim is totally dictating the whole thing. Andrea again asked the defense attorney, how do we believe anything Lottie says now? And the defense attorney says, when a man's life is at stake, you have to. Which makes no sense because it doesn't change the truth of a person's story regardless of what the stakes are. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you could, for many murder people trials, you could bring forward people, but they're either a credible witness or they're not.
Right.
It doesn't matter on if the person's life is at stake.
Right.
But I guess he's saying she would tell the truth now because a life's man is at stake, but his life is always at stake. And she swore on the witness stand the exact opposite last time. And he was also going to go to jail. This is how they end the episode, but there's some interesting outside stuff that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first? Or want me to go first? You talk about what they found in the car. This, to me, sort of put it over the edge.
What they found in the car?
If you had any doubts.
Yeah.
Yeah, or do you want me to do it?
No. So what they found in the car was as...
Wasim's car.
In Wasim's car was as follows. 3 knives, a box cutter, leg irons, handcuffs, a section of rope, a laptop computer, which had records of the books that he had sent himself, including a book called Kill Without Joy, the Complete How to Kill book.
But why would you want to kill without joy?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you want to kill with joy if you're going to kill?
Well, that's the weird thing, is the strangling thing seems very personal and... That she wasn't stabbed or shot. She was strangled.
She did have cuts on her back.
Oh, so who knows what was going on?
But why would he have leg irons?
Yeah, I don't.
And handcuffs and knives and box cutter. Very weird. The leg irons are the really weird thing that is very disturbing to
me. I don't like that. That sounds like he was going to torture someone. Yeah, that's really creepy. And then what did you find out?
There's a free Wasim Dacre Facebook page.
Of course there is.
It has 52 likes. Big time.
Do you share friends with any? Oh, you're not on Facebook.
I can't see. Oh, that would be interesting to see if I shared friends. Mm-hmm. So they obviously feel like the episode was very one-sided. They were not happy with Queen Canning's job.
Who was? The 52 people?
The 52 people.
Yeah, of course.
The person who runs the page of 52 people.
How many likes does Adnan Syed's page have?
I'm thinking thousands and thousands and thousands.
Yeah, probably like half a million.
Maybe even a million.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, just saying. Go ahead.
But 52.
52. All right.
So these were the only points that I thought were slightly interesting that made me go, Some of them were... ridiculous. Like, he had wanted to be interviewed for Dateline, but the jail wouldn't let him. And because Dateline didn't say that, it made it appear as if he was unwilling to be on the show.
No, I never thought that for a minute. I just thought, yeah, whatever.
And then I guess he wrote a letter that they were going to read, but they didn't read it or mention the letter. But obviously, it would just say, I'm innocent and I didn't do this and whatever. There were just certain things that they were just really unhappy, but none of it was all kind of nonsense. They did say that Nick had said that the attacker had blue eyes and Wasim has dark eyes, but we had that whole episode where the kid thought it was her dad that attacked her mom And it wasn't.
That's true. Did they say, did Nick say that the attacker had a unibrow?
Oh my God, a unibrow to end all unibrows.
It was. It was real good. It was a solid wall.
Yeah. So these are the only points that made me question things.
That's silly.
Yeah. No, so there were three. Andrea Canning never points out the problems that Carmen Smith had with her ex-boyfriend or her ex-husband.
Right.
And several boyfriends, including threats and abuse.
Okay.
So that I thought was interesting. But she also doesn't mention that the evidence was excluded by the judge for some reason.
No.
So that's not Dateline's fault.
The husband was on the stand. Husband took the stand. Ex-husband took the stand.
Okay. What about the ex-boyfriends?
Don't know about ex-boyfriends, but I know for a fact the ex-husband was on the stand because I saw an article about it.
Is he the one who supposedly abused her?
I don't know about that. I didn't get
that far.
Could
have been the ex-boyfriend.
Sorry. I should have spent less time watching the episode for a third time and more time researching.
No, it's okay. Not good. But regardless, but he could have still taken the stand and the evidence is excluded.
Okay.
We just saw that on an episode where they send the jury out and then they don't let them hear that part, or they say we're striking that from the record.
That is true.
So they feel like the jury never got the whole truth because Carmen had people in her life that could have wanted to hurt her. This is when I found out that Carmen's name is spelled with a K. Carmen with a K.
Yeah, that's
and
fine.
I was, no, I'm sorry.
What's wrong
you
with you?
Think that's fine?
Yeah, I think that's fine. She looked like a Carmen with a K. Strawberry blonde, cute. What's wrong?
No. Carmen with a K?
Cute.
No, she gets into trouble with people who might want to hurt her.
She does not. That is Carmen, judgmental and horrible.
Carmen with a K is like Candy with a K.
Candy with a K maybe has daddy issues. Not sure, though. Can't make judgments on people's names. Kimberly.
Can't we?
Kimmy.
I don't go by Kimmy.
I've heard people call you Kimmy. I don't like it, and I make a stank face when they do it, but.
Okay. The second point is that there was a
also,
lot of
both bruised... of us have K names.
Our names are typically spelled with K's.
No, Kate could be with a C easily.
Yes, it could be either one, 50-50. Kimberly is always with a K. Carmen is always with a C, except for this one rare time, which is like making Candy a K.
I think I know Carmen's with a K, which is why I'm crabby about this.
Are they dancers that are like wear boas?
I'm highly concerned that it might be one of the moms on Toddlers and Tiaras.
There you go.
Okay. Enough. All right. Enough. Keep going.
Point taken.
Apologies to Cameron's with K's that Carmen's. May or may not listen.
Carmen's.
Sorry, what I say?
Cameron's.
Sorry. Carmen's with K's, who may or may not listen to this podcast.
I'm sorry.
Blanket apologies.
Shut up.
Get it?
That was one of my titles.
It was one of mine, too. So there you go. I just blew the boat up on both of us. Sorry about
that.
Damn it. I know.
Blanket apology.
Yeah, that was mine.
It's fine. So good.
Actually, I had blanket excuses.
Oh, that's good. I don't think that works as much.
It doesn't.
A blanket excuse is not a thing, I don't think.
I think it is.
A blanket excuse? I've
Maybe
never
not.
Heard that.
All right, keep going. Sorry.
Okay, so the second thing is that Carmen had terrible bruising, which suggested a struggle.
Right.
But when they went to Wasim's house that night, he didn't have any bruising on him. So that's interesting.
Well, that's interesting. Okay.
He could just be a person that doesn't bruise as much or bruises later. He had darker skin. She was a strawberry blonde.
He
so
seemed
she probably
very pale
bruises.
To me.
He was Middle Eastern.
No.
He had gone to Syria at one point.
So he had gone to Syria.
Well, was I don't know many people that go to Syria if they're not,
from,
don't
if
have
they're
any
not,
ties
okay. That's true.
To Syria.
Okay.
So I thought he seemed, I don't know.
I understand.
Was darker than she was.
Okay.
She was a very pale redhead who probably bruises very easily.
True.
So the third thing was that the murder weapon was this piece of rope, but the rope had two pieces of DNA on it. One was an unknown male.
Oh.
And both of them excluded Wasim. And they never talked about that on the
Dateline
episode.
That's kind of important. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh,
so
uh-oh.
That, I know. So it's one of these cases like
Dang
the
it.
Heath Bar Farm,
yes.
where it's like the one little thing can flip you or flop you, fiddle faddle you from one direction
fiddle
to
faddle.
The other. Yeah.
Ugh.
You know? So you're like, totally this. You think one thing, and then you hear one thing, and you go, oh, maybe it's actually the exact opposite.
Okay, so this could have been a two-hour episode. We could have heard about all this. I would not have mind hearing about this.
No, I would have liked to have heard what was going on in Carmen's life, if there were any other suspects. Because you, in a case this brutal, you go, who else would have done it? Who else had a motive or was involved?
Right, right,
exactly.
Right.
Who else? But they never focused on that, even though there were other men in Carmen's life.
Yeah, but who else is stabbing a five-year-old? That's
right.
Crazy.
No, that's insane. Okay, so B-roll bonanza.
Wait, I had one more outside info.
Oh, sure.
Just that she was kicked off the paintball team.
By the owner.
Lottie was, because he saw that it was a bad situation, or potentially a bad situation, whatever the relationship that was going on between the two of them.
The owner of the paintball court?
Correct. The owner of the paintball team.
Whatever.
Like the leader of the team.
Oh, the lead.
Or whoever it was. No, I think it was the owner of the
captain.
It said the owner of the paintball team.
Well, she was the captain.
So
they must have been maybe were sponsored by somebody.
He gave her the boot.
He gave her the paintball gun right in the tuchus.
Yep. Bye.
Oh, that's so. But not Wasim.
Not Wasim.
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 That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so B-roll bonanza, what do you have?
Well, really, I didn't really notice much except for Lottie's mascara was having some issues at certain points was really close up. It was that...
What, the Tammy Faye?
It was the Tammy Faye. It was the spider legs.
Yeah, spider. Spider lash.
And it really grosses me out. I'm not going to say who has it a lot.
I have it a lot.
No, I didn't mean you. I meant someone
else. Oh, I had it today, actually, and I looked in the mirror and I said, oh, why? Why?
I'm sure I have it a lot.
You don't? No, but it's that thick mascara, and sometimes I go overboard and I do it, and sometimes I think it looks pretty. And then halfway through the day, I look in the mirror and I'm like, why do I think that's pretty? That's not pretty.
Weird. I did have a therapist who had clumpy eyelashes all the time, and I really had trouble because it was like, how can I get this person to help fix my life if they can't fix their own?
No, eyelashes? I can see that. I can see that that would be a deterrent. It's like when I go to a meeting and I have dirty fingernails because I've been working in a warehouse. And then I go to a meeting and they're like, how can I trust this lady with her filthy fingernails? I look like I've been digging in a flower pot. It's disgusting.
Maybe you were like an earth mother all of a sudden.
And then today I couldn't figure out why I had red under my fingernails for the longest time. Why are under my fingernails red? Why is it red? It's because I'd eaten a red velvet cupcake.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I hope you're keeping all that in.
It stained the inside of my fingernails. What, the red velvet cupcake?
Yeah, because at least I don't have Cheeto fingers right now. That's hard to get off.
Can you see that one?
Yeah, it's red.
Yeah, that's red velvet. What kind of bread? What kind of dye are they using that it dyes my fingernails?
This is not all natural.
Well, maybe I'm eating cupcakes weird. Okay, go ahead. Press on.
Okay. Quote of the week.
Yeah.
There was no smoking blanket.
Who said that?
Andrea said, so in this case, there was no smoking gun and there was no smoking blanket.
That's great.
Precious moments. It was very sweet and so sad what happened to him and Carmen. She seemed really fun. She was really pretty in her pictures.
Are the you brother, writing down the Carmen's brother. Mm-hmm.
Carmen's brother-in-law. I think that was the
He got choked up. Yeah.
He got choked up
when he was talking about going into the hospital room and seeing Nick so small with 18 stab wounds. I was like, oh, that's devastating. And also, it's not just Nick's life that changed. That whole family's life changed. Not
they
from
adopted
losing one.
Him.
Right. They had a new son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Okay. Great people, by the way.
They were my MVPs.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I thought I liked the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
He struck me as very no-nonsense and logical.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Nick, obviously. I liked Nick's family. And I liked the babysitter's boyfriend that went in and kind of saved the day. Come on, that's really brave.
I did. It was really, really brave.
There's this five-year-old boy and there's blood everywhere and he's just some douchebag teenager who's trying to just hook up with this babysitter.
Like, oh, he would have been a teenager. That's right. The funny thing that I thought, I'm sorry, the reason I'm making a face is because the one other quote that I thought was really funny is that the girlfriend was describing what the boyfriend was saying when he was running out. He was like, we got to get to the hospital. We got to get to the hospital. He's really effed up.
because he was a teenager.
I know, but she said that on Dateline. Right. And I was like, maybe you leave that one out or just change it a little. Just change it. But it was
She's
really...
like, I'm going to tell this true to the story.
But it surprised me. It caught me off guard. I was like, wait, did they just say effed up? And I went back and I was like, how'd they transcribe that? That's funny. Yeah. So
also, anyway. I feel like that in the 90s, did people say effed?
No. That's why she was using...
I think that was more recent.
She was using her lingo.
Yeah.
And that's what... Yeah. Anyways, that's why I made the face.
But right. Seriously, it's like it is a normal weekday. Mm-hmm. You're trying to just hang out with your girlfriend. All of a sudden, this girl runs and says, there's a killer downstairs and this boy's been stabbed. And he goes and there's blood everywhere and a killer. And he literally grabs the little boy, tries to do CPR on him. Grabs him, like, puts his chest so he can stop the bleeding, and is carrying him out. Like, I thought
it's heroic. Absolutely. Yeah.
For a teenage boy, I thought it was pretty impressive. Loser. Do you think we have the same loser?
Probably.
Should we say it on three?
Yeah.
One. Now we'll see how well I do the clap at three. Okay.
Well, one. I just can't see you anymore.
Okay, wait, hang on.
There we go.
See me?
Okay, yeah, I can see you.
Okay, one, two, three.
La-di-da.
Yes. La-di-da.
La-di-da. La-la.
I mean, to me, she just came off like an attention seeker.
Pathological
liar.
The weird thing is, I think that somehow was seen... something he wrote in those letters or something got through to her. He's like basically Stockholm syndroming her from prison, which is so creepy to me.
He's a Svengali.
Sure.
But she has to be, there's something about her that was willing to lie for 17 years about this whole thing that makes me think she's crazy too.
She didn't lie for 17 years.
Or is lying now.
She's lying now. You think she was lying before?
No, I think it all happened because I think there's plenty of evidence that he was a psycho.
Plenty.
She lied about the relationship.
Also, check the phone logs. I guarantee you when he went to jail for stalking, they had evidence from the phone company of hundreds of phone calls a day from him to her.
Right. Now, she would just say, well, we were in a relationship. That's why he was calling so much.
She should. I have no idea. My thought was that in the first Dateline, she left out that they were in a relationship. All the stalking stuff, she was probably upfront about that with the police. But I think in Dateline, she left it out because you wouldn't want to be embarrassed about being a 30-year-old woman in a relationship with a 17 or an 18-year-old.
Definitely.
So
you think she was telling the truth all those times she said he was a monster and she was terrified
correct.
Of him?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's terrifying.
And this happened after or during their relationship?
During. I think that maybe they had a relationship for about a month. And then she got kicked off the paintball team and cut it off because she was like, what am I doing? I'm being an idiot. I have a daughter who's young. Like, I'm being an idiot. And he could not handle that change.
And do you think he made up the blanket story and told her to say this?
I think that he suggested it to her in a way that created a false memory.
Yeah,
don't you
possible.
Remember that time that you let me sleep over? Maybe there was time that she felt sorry for him. Oh, that was the other thing that made me know that there was something weird. Why she hadn't gone to the police earlier.
Yeah,
was
because she felt sorry for him.
I felt sorry. I was trying to protect him. No, you were protecting yourself.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know what had crossed the line into stalking because you had a relationship with this person.
Yeah. And he was possibly underage.
He was
underage. We don't know what the age limit is.
They said
state.
30 to 17. He was 17 when they met and she was 30.
So we don't know what the age is.
And we don't
state.
Know when they started having a sexual relationship.
Right.
No, we don't know.
So, but I do think that
but
she
he was
is...
barely legal. He was the definition of barely legal.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's something wrong with her, though.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, I understand
psychologically.
That.
She's one of, I think she's either, she needs to inject herself into things to be in the center of attention or something.
I did not get that feeling. Do you feel like that?
Uh-huh.
I feel like I've seen people on Dateline like that. I did not get that feeling from her. I felt like more she had been totally wool pulled over her eyes by this person who had convinced her so much that he was innocent.
Right.
That she then felt so guilty because she had put him away.
Why did she start writing him in prison? If she was so terrified of this man,
I don't.
Why did she start communicating with her?
I think he started communicating with her.
And she just answered.
And then one time she read a letter, and then she read all the letters. And then it goes on from there. I would like a Lifetime movie about this, so I would know exactly what the how that went.
Definitely. Bran's unhappy being on Dateline. To me, just the Innocence Project. I love them.
I was so bummed out.
I think they do great. They're, like, I normally love Hampikian. He's been on some of my favorite cases on Dateline and been such a, like, a warrior. I think he's not saying Wasim is innocent. I think he's just saying he deserves a new trial because of this blanket DNA.
I agree.
And then I don't think he actually is ignoring all the other evidence against Wasim and thinks he's just such a by the book guy that he thinks, well, he has to have another trial because of this element.
I would agree with that.
So Joan Rivers Fashion Police. A, the unibrow for days.
Yeah.
So much unibrow. It was almost like I couldn't tell if it was the... They kept zooming in on this picture, so it was getting grainier and grainier. Well, so I was like, is that just graininess?
Because the picture, it was also very dark at the top. It had like almost like he had a beard on his forehead, which he certainly doesn't.
No.
He also looks very different when he comes into court the first time.
And he is quite pale, actually, in court, now that I think about it.
He's really pale. And then when when he's representing himself later, he looks like a different man.
Yeah. Interesting.
But that is after 10 years in prison for stalking. Yeah. So what it can do to a person.
Okay. Lottie, did she have a bump it?
I was waiting. I didn't even write it down. I didn't even write it down because I was like, it's going to be Lottie with the bump it.
Yeah, Lottie with the bump it. I thought she did that half down thing all the time.
Correct. She did that poofy up in the front.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a bump it. I think she just teased it. She just back comb. I think it was just a good back comb job.
And I wrote down in all capitals, so shiny. Maybe lying makes you sweat.
I think those lights are so hot too.
Oh,
you
I'm sure.
Underestimating.
I am sure, for sure.
The heat.
And they put much more focus on their host, making sure their host looks shine free.
Yeah.
I even added shiny to the bingo cards because it's so prevalent.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't seem to care what their interviewees look like. It's
just, maybe not.
As long as the hosts look amazing. It's, speaking of amazing, Andrea's amazing makeup and green trench coat. Standing outside, she looked like a comic book villain. It was incredible. So gorgeous.
Pretty good.
Alternative theories. Is there any possibility Carmen's lovers / husband?
Well, you brought up some good points.
Right.
I don't know about those men. I don't know. If anybody out there knows anything, let us know.
Right.
I don't know. Right now, I have absolutely no reason to believe it wasn't Wasim.
I found a website that several people on it seem to believe that Lottie was the psychopath. She was triggered with jealousy when she heard Wasim call Carmen downstairs, and she either helped him do this, set him up for this, egged him on to do this, or did it herself and framed him.
You think Lottie stabbed a little boy 15 times and the 15-year-old boy is, or the 5-year-old boy isn't going to remember, oh yeah, it was my roommate?
Who
stabbed me?
The people on this website were 1,000% sure
that
she was the real killer.
Internet people.
Yeah, that she was the real killer. You make a good point.
They're wrong.
But do you think there's any way she was an accomplice?
No.
And then stabbed him in the back?
No. No, I think she really was being stalked. I think there was, when she said at the end, that line rang true, I was genuinely scared. There was a level of stalking. She was just trying to be like, it wasn't as bad as I said, because she's trying to get him out of prison for some ungodly, weird reason now.
Right. I didn't like the way she said, that was a real emotion. I was having nightmares. I didn't buy that part for some reason.
Oh, really? I bought that she was scared. I bought that she was actually stalked by this kid.
I bought her first half hour.
Me too.
When she was talking about how scary he was.
Because that's the truth.
It didn't.
The second half hour doesn't ring true because it's not. she's lying in the second half.
But you felt like she was lying at the beginning about
something. I felt like she was lying only about
the relationship,
the nature of her relationship with him. I did not think that they had a long-term lover relationship. Sorry for the word lover. But I did think that they had slept together once, possibly multiple times over like maybe a couple weeks or a month. And then he went wacko.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that for sure had happened. Like, it's in my initial notes. The first time I wrote down, I said, she's lying.
Yeah.
They did it. She's just embarrassed to say it because it's kind of gross.
So there's technically like three scenarios. One is they never slept together and she was terrified. Mm-hmm. And then I assumed the other one was, oh, well, they were together and she wasn't terrified. So she was lying about all that. But the third scenario, which I didn't seem to put together, is that she was sleeping with him and she was terrified. That she was
sleeping with him, then he got out of control and became terrifying.
Right.
And then she is lying now.
Right.
To try to get him out of prison. But I don't know why that is. It's either something that he's doing to her, manipulating her in some way.
Right.
Or
do you think he's threatening her? Like saying, I will get to your son or daughter from someone I know outside of prison.
No.
I think it's just a manipulative hold he has on her.
Yes. I think it's manipulation.
And then people online were like, have you ever heard of a stalking victim going back to their stalker? And I thought, well, not usually, but if it was some sort of an abusive relationship and a codependent relationship and she was just as messed up as he was, usually I just say the victim is the victim. They were a victim. But I think there's something off with her. And I think that's why part of her is still goes back to him.
Do you think there's something off in a 30-year-old woman being attracted to a 17-year-old?
Well, yeah, I guess.
Because there's something wrong also with a 30-year-old man being attracted to a child.
Yes.
That boy is a child.
Yeah.
When you look at those pictures and those paintball things, he's a kid.
Yeah.
When he comes into prison in his prison blues the first time for his stalking stint, he's a kid.
Yeah. There is a 48 Hours that's very good, and it is actually about a teacher, an older woman teacher, not older, but she's in her 30s or 30, and she was sleeping with this high school student. Mm-hmm. And he also was threatening her, and he raped her several times, but she was too scared to go to the police because she was started flirting with him. I don't remember if they started consensually or he just raped her out of nowhere, and then she didn't know what to do, and he kept threatening her, and they convicted her because they were like, how, you were the adult. But I've never seen someone so genuinely terrified of someone as her on the stand. She's like beyond terrified.
What 48 Hours is that? I want to watch that.
He's like a teenage boy, but he's a football player. He's big. And he was playing manipulative mind games with her. And it's really sad to me. This is my remembrance of it. And it very well could be I could go back and think something totally different. Now that we've been doing the podcast, you know, I keep changing my mind on things. Mm-hmm. But my remembrance is beyond terrified. Even though he's the minor in the relationship, I fully believe he assaulted her and manipulated her and threatened her.
Let's cover that episode.
It's very interesting. I mean, it's kind of sad. It's called Dangerous Liaisons. And because I believe it's a 48 Hours.
I am very curious if I have the same reaction that she is terrified.
Right. Now, I watched this one a long time ago. And I think I've only seen it like once. But I wrote it down because I thought it would be interesting to cover. But then I realized it was a 48 Hours and not a Dateline.
What's the movie with Judi Dench and Cate Blanchett?
The Scandal. School for Scandal.
No. Is it School for Scandal or is it just Scandal?
School for Scandal. Something. I think it's School for Scandal.
It's Scandal's in it, but I don't know if it's just Scandal. Or type in Blanchett Scandal.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, that's a creepy one. I like the layers in that one is crazy because Judi Dench is crazy. Mm-hmm. And then and they all have like holds on each other.
Notes on a Scandal.
Notes on a Scandal. That's it. Yeah.
Also, Interestingly enough, now that I'm thinking about it, she has a son in that movie, Cate Blanchett, who mm-hmm. has special needs. Mm-hmm. And that was part of why she chose to have an affair with this boy, is because mm-hmm. she felt like she didn't have her own life, and her whole life was dedicated to her child. And, you know, and that was her, she broke free. And you know what I'm saying? Like, she chose to, whatever, act out doing that sort of illegal act. But she was one of these mothers who gives to everyone but themselves. Do you know what I'm saying?
She didn't feel seen.
She didn't feel seen.
She felt seen, and she felt seen by this, like, high school boy who was paying her attention, even though her husband in the movie, I think, is kind of lovely.
Yes.
He's a Frenchman, and he's, like, running around and being really nice.
I'm just thinking, I think it's based on a book, but there's actually a Dateline or a 48 Hours, and there's been a couple of them on the same case, and it's this mom and who has a great husband. She's principal of a school, or he's the principal of the high school. She is the mom where all the kids hang out at their house, and she starts sleeping with one of her daughter's high school football player friends, and it's consensual. It's only like a tiny bit of touching. It doesn't like go all the way, but she had just lost her special needs son of like 16 years, she had to change his diaper and care for him every single day for like 16 years. And then he died. And then devastated. And so that's how she reacts, by like bonding with this 17-year-old boy who also feels like alone because his parents are getting divorced. And so they bond, and then it gets inappropriate. She sends him some pictures that are like of her in a bra and stuff. Mm-hmm, and, that she was running for mayor of the town. And
this is a real story?
Yes. And it's on either Dateline or 48 Hours. Huge scandal. Her husband stays by her, and he's just lovely. And even though he's like the school principal or something, and the children stay by her because they know how much she loved their brother who passed away. It was that weird form of grieving of a mother that's lost a child, where you don't know how someone's going to react in that way.
No, I understand. Well, and that's what, remember, we had this with frickin' Heath Bar Farm, where he slept with that woman, and you're like, you don't know what's happening in someone's head when you're sort of like in this limbo.
We had the mother sleep with her dead daughter's husband.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
And so this is like a mother who just lost a teenage boy.
I understand. Yeah.
Bonds with another teenage boy who also needs her because his parents are going through a divorce and he's kind of lost. And so it goes a little too far and it becomes inappropriate. And they arrest her and put her in jail. Yes.
Wow.
For a while. And then she had an ankle monitor for a while, which meant she couldn't go to her kids' like games, and she was like one of those moms that was at the sideline of every game, you know, graduation, all of that. But then they do a follow-up episode like a year later, and this is what's really crazy, is this time her husband has now divorced her. They have gotten a divorce, and she is now dating like a 22-year-old or something.
Oh, so her brain just flipped.
And yes, so now she's dating and guess how she met this guy? He emailed her after he saw the original episode and felt so bad for her because, you know, of what she had been through.
Find out what that is. We're watching that. Find out what that is. That is killing me. Although I do feel like I just watched it. I do really want to see it.
And the daughter, like, stays by her during the second boyfriend, too, and is, like, trying to hang out with the boyfriend, even though the boyfriend's, like, practically her age. So, like, now the mom just really likes younger guys for some reason. But you do – so that makes you think, oh, she is just, like, a pedophile because now she just likes really young people. But then you do really honestly feel for her the whole the whole first time. But then when it happens
bizarre.
Again with
again,
a younger guy,
you're like,
it was that not just a one-time thing?
What's going
or
on
was,
with you?
Or you just,
No, I feel like her brain flipped. Like a little bit of her brain got fried, and now there's
from the tragedy. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Should we just cover that one too?
I think you just
even
did.
I've already described it.
It's done. Yeah, we did it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So do we have any titles?
Yeah.
Mine suck. And
no,
my
they
best
don't,
one
because
was
you had
a blanket apology.
Which is great because I only had a blanket excuse, which you said is not a thing.
No. I had Daker Faker, which is just really dumb. Okay. And then I had, I was playing around with the short, dark hair of the law instead of the long arm of the law.
How about the root of all evil?
There you go. That's much better. I didn't get there. I got Lottie Lots of Lies, or Lottie Lies a Lot.
Yeah, you just ruined my old mind. So.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So yes.
I mean, you kind of ruined it. You got there, and okay. With very little time. Look at that.
Okay, what did you have?
What did I have? Okay, I had The Root of All Evil,
mm-hmm.
because of the hair root.
Right, it's
great. And then I had The Blanket Excuse, and then I had A Whole Lot of Lies. A Whole Lot of Lies. Uh-huh. A Whole Lot of Crazy. And a Whole Lot of Lottie.
Yes.
I had those three. And then for some horrible reason.
I like A Whole
reason,
Lot of Crazy.
A Whole Lot of Crazy I thought you'd like. I had variations of that because I thought it was good. The song that kept running through my head literally the entire episode is Have We Seen Her? Baby, Have We Seen Her? It's a song by, I think it's...
Oh, because Wasim.
Have You Seen Her?
Even
Baby,
though his name was
seen
Wasim.
Yeah, even though his name was Wasim, I had Have We Seen Her? Baby, Have We Seen Her?
Wait, so is that the karaoke song for the episode?
That is going to be the karaoke song.
I think her song would have been like...
Think about the song. I see your face everywhere I go. It's a little bit... I was thinking maybe it's got a stalker edge. We could get it there if I tried.
I think hers would be, I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Yeah, but that's just the general stalker song.
On me. That's all I got. Is there a song about paintball?
What? Probably like a Sublime song.
Oh, maybe. Green Day? Who do we think goes paintballing? Blink 182. Sum 41.
Sum 41
goes paintballing.
311?
Yeah.
System of a Down?
Yeah.
Anyone in that genre?
Yeah.
We covered it.
And Avril Lavigne, because she was married to the guy from Sum 41.
That's why you're thinking of her, but I don't know if she
And now
actually...
she's married to the guy from Nickelback.
I'm sorry?
She's married to the lead singer of Nickelback.
The older gentleman?
Correctamundo.
Who's old enough to be her grandfather?
Yeah.
Okay, as soon as we get off the I'm gonna hang up with you and I'm gonna look that up because I
It's true. Okay. So our Patreon is up. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Also join Sean G's amazing Facebook page. You have to ask him to join and maybe he'll say yes if he thinks you're cool enough.
Thanks. Oh wait, Cobb Salad County Killer. We couldn't get anywhere
with
Cobb Salad.
Oh, I was thinking about that, but then why didn't I go there? I was thinking like Cuckoo County.
That's fine. I was trying to get to Baker's Dozen the whole time.
Okay.
Baker's Dozen.
Cobb Salad with murder on the side.
No, see you
instead
you
of
do that
dressing
every,
on the
no,
side.
No, I know.
You know, you get your dressing on the side
because it's got to sound like it, right?
I don't know what rhymes with dressing that is murder messing on the side.
Slashing on the side.
Thing.
No,
so what rhymes
totally
with Caesar?
Doesn't.
Caesar dressing. No, what's in a Cobb salad? Ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing.
Ranch.
No, we're not going to get it.
Is there anything rhyme with ranch? Do you know my aunt, when we went to Ruby's for my birthday dinner, my aunt says to the waitress, she goes, I'd like the Cobb salad, but does it look like it does on the menu? And then she ordered it with French dressing.
What's wrong with, I'm sorry, what is wrong with any of those statements?
Does it look like it does in the picture?
Wasn't it supposed to? Does it?
Why do you ask that, though?
But
the waitress was like, yeah, sure, yes.
Oh, yeah, so the answer was yes. Okay, sorry, I don't know why I'm getting confused by it.
It's just such a weird question to ask a waitress. Does it look like it does in the picture?
Because if it doesn't, I'll have none of that.
Right. I mean, you...
No, that actually ends up looking like spaghetti. But
right.
You're fine. Go ahead. Order
like
it.
Like, maybe
you
at McDonald's,
know.
Like, on the commercials, it looks nothing like it does in the commercials, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But,
that's
like,
true.
This
that,
is...
A McDonald's hamburger looks like a sad sack.
Right. But then in the commercials, they make it look like it's, like, a gourmet...
Juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then this was, like, a salad, and it was a photo from the restaurant. I don't know. It was just so funny to me. Does it look like it does in the photo? I don't know what the waitress is going to say, like no, or I don't know. And then she found it did look like it, but then, and she ordered it with French dressing, which is just, my mom orders Caesar salad with French dressing.
What's up with the French dressing thing?
I don't know. My family's so weird. Look out for some Q&As if you're on our Patreon with my parents and
I can't
my
wait.
Cousin and my aunt. We recorded something too.
Yay.
It's fascinating. Okay. There's a lot to learn there.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, guys. I hope you're still with us. Goodbye. It's been a long one.
Bye, everybody.
Don't watch alone. Watch with Cobb Salad.
Watch with the big Cobb Salad. Hopefully, yes, it looks like the menu.
Like it does in the photo.